Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1953-1954 season. I am so excited to bring you this episode because at this point in time in Jack's history, it's towards the end of his run. We are in the penultimate year of the Jack Benny Show. Next year will be his last year. We don't often, or at least I don't feel like we often get new concepts, new things that we haven't heard before. We get a lot of the Easter Parade episodes and Jack's birthday episode, and you get the Christmas shopping episode, and you get the train episodes, and you get the episodes with the vault, and the episodes with Professor LeBlanc, and the Beavers episodes. I mean, Jack has such a wealth of great fun ideas to revisit, and I'm really glad he does revisit them. It is a great feeling when you get to recognize what's coming up, and you get used to the format of the episode. But it is really cool when he brings us something that we haven't seen before, and that is what you're going to get today. I won't even give you anything about this episode. I'm just going to let you enjoy it from beginning to end. From almost the get-go, it starts differently than most of his episodes, certainly from any episode I've ever heard, and it's just fun. So I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to give anything away. I'm even changing the title on this episode because I don't want the title to give it away if you've never heard or seen this episode. I'll probably change it back in a few weeks or something, but anyway, for now, I don't even want that to give anything away. So just enjoy a fresh, new Jack Benny Show that I don't think any of you have ever heard before, if you've never heard this specific episode, because it's never been done again. I don't think it was ever done after or before, so very cool. Enjoy. We'll see you next time. For the poll, we're going to just do that on Tuesday because I just didn't want it to get in the way of this fun episode. There you go.
The Jack Benny Program, transcribed and presented by Lucky Strike.
Lucky's taste better,
cleaner, fresher, smoother.
Lucky's taste better,
cleaner, fresher, smoother. For Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, richer tasting, fine tobacco.
Lucky's taste better,
cleaner, fresher, smoother. Lucky Strike, Lucky Strike.
This is Don Wilson, friends. You know, after all is said and done, the reason anybody smokes is for enjoyment. The enjoyment that comes from the taste of a cigarette. Yes, smoking enjoyment is all a matter of taste. And the fact of the matter is, Lucky's taste better. Cleaner, fresher, smoother. First, because they're made of fine tobacco. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Second, Lucky's are made better. Made round, firm, fully packed to draw freely and smoke evenly. Fine tobacco in a better made cigarette gives you better taste every single time. Next time, ask for Lucky Strike. Because smoking enjoyment is all a matter of taste. And the fact of the matter is, Lucky's taste better. You'll know that's true the minute you light up a Lucky.
Lucky's taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother. Lucky Strike. Lucky Strike.
Strike Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, spring has come to Southern California. Birds are twittering in the treetops and buds are bursting on the branches. So without further ado, we'd like to show you how a typical gentleman farmer is heralding the arrival of spring. The time, early afternoon. The scene, Jack Benny's backyard. The farmer, Jack Benny!
Da-dee-da-da-dum, dee-dum, dee-dum, dee-da-dum. Gee, this section I planted last year came up nice. Look at those nice straight rows. 200 stalks of corn, 150 cabbages, 300 strawberry vines. One measly coffee plant. But who knew? Let's see now. I better get these string beans in. I'll set them right next to the tomatoes here. Well, there's one. Gee, I got 100 more to go. Oh, Rochester, I want you to come here and give me a hand.
But, boss...
Rochester, you've been in that swimming pool long enough. Now, come on.
But, boss, I'm not through planting the rice.
Never mind that. I need you here.
Okay.
So worried about the rice. Sorry I gave him those chopsticks for Christmas.
Here I am.
Well, you can start with this row here.
Yes, sir.
Now, first you put the plant in, then sprinkle it over with a layer of Vigoro. Cover that with some dirt, then a 3-inch layer of bone meal, then some more dirt. Then you put on another big, thick layer of Vigoro. And be very careful, Rochester, because you know what we're planting here, don't you?
No, but it ain't going to be lilac bushes.
They're string beans, and let's get started.
Boss, are you planting beans again?
Yes, why?
I thought you'd give up on beans after what happened last year. They were so small, the bugs were picketing them.
I'm not trying to be funny, Rochester. I'm going to plant beans, and this year they'll be the biggest ones in Beverly Hills. Now, let's get going. There. That one's in deep enough.
You sure look funny in those overalls and that old straw hat.
I do look like a farmer in this outfit, don't I?
With those long white gloves on, you look like Hildegard.
Well, I've got soft, lovely hands, and I'm going to keep them that way. I think I got some of these plants upside down. No, I guess they're all right. Dennis, don't mow so close to the tomato. Watch it.
I'm almost through, Mr. Benny.
Well, keep at it. And Dennis, when you're through mowing the lawn, I want you to water it.
Okay, I'll turn on the sprinkling system.
I haven't got a sprinkling system.
You have now.
What?
I thought the hose was a snake and shot it full of holes.
Dennis, that was a brand new hose, and I'm going to deduct the price of it from your salary.
I was afraid that would happen.
You were?
Yeah, boy, am I glad I saved the last bullet for myself.
Huh?
Well, here goes.
Dennis, put down that gun. I'll pay for the hose.
I knew you were yellow.
Never mind. You just get back to work. I'll hold on to the gun.
Okay.
Boss, I finished the roast string beans.
Good. Now we'll plant some celery.
You ought to plant pistachios. They're terrific.
But, Dennis, pistachios are nuts.
Well, who isn't?
Dennis, look at that mountain over there. That's it. Now hold your head still.
Boss, put down that gun.
I only wanted to scare him. I couldn't hit a pointed head like his in a million years. Now, go ahead, Dennis. Finish your work.
Okay. See you later. Ding, 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 ding.
He always plays conductor when he mows the lawn. What a kid. Now, let's see. Hey, Rochester, look at these mushrooms here. I don't remember planting any mushrooms.
Those are toadstools, boss. They're poison.
No, Rochester. Go ahead and taste one. I think they're mushrooms.
You think?
Yes.
Well, until you're positive, my attitude is negative.
Oh, what a baby. Afraid to eat a little plant.
Uh-huh.
You know, Rochester, there's an old saying, a coward dies 1,000 deaths. A hero dies but once. Did you ever hear that saying before?
Yeah, and I want to be able to hear it again.
All right, don't eat it. Who cares?
Oh, hello, Rochester. Well, the garden looks lovely.
Thanks, Miss Livingston.
I see you got the scarecrow up already.
This is me, and you know it. Mary, did you buy that package of cucumber seeds like I asked you to?
Yeah, here they are. They were 10 cents.
Thanks. Gee, just think, Mary. I'm going to take these little seeds, plant them in the ground, and before you know it, vines will spring up with oodles and oodles of cucumbers on them. Isn't nature wonderful?
Yeah.
And, Mary, half of those cucumbers are going to be yours.
The heck with nature. Give me my dime.
Give me my dime. Give me my dime. You'll be sorry when the crop comes in. I feel it's going to be a big season.
Oh, you're some farmer. You and your crazy experiments.
They're not so crazy.
Remember last year? You sprinkled cheese all over the ground and tried to raise au gratin potatoes.
All right, but I still say it doesn't hurt to experiment. Now, let's see. Oh, Mary, I was just having a little argument with Rochester here. Look, are those things there mushrooms or toadstools?
Those are toadstools.
They are? Well, I'm certainly glad you told me. I almost ate one.
You almost ate one?
Well, I mean, I would have eaten one after you did.
With me laying there?
All right, forget it. I better dig these up and throw them away.
I'm all through, Mr. Benny.
Good.
Then, Mr. Benny, as soon as your lawn needs cutting again, you'll be sure to let me know now, won't you?
I certainly will, and I appreciate your interest.
Well, I like to keep the grounds looking nice and in tip-top shape.
Good, good.
This is a beautiful place, and someday I might buy it.
Really, Dennis?
Yeah. I'll throw you out so fast it'll make your head spin.
Dennis, go home already.
Okay, goodbye already.
Goodbye, goodbye already. Mary?
Yes?
Do you think Kenny Baker's too old to push a lawnmower?
Oh, Jack, every time Dennis gets you a little aggravated, you always...
Hello, Jack.
Hey, Mary, it's Bob Crosby. Hi, Bob.
Fine, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Bob. Out for a little walk today?
Well, not exactly. I told the boys in the band to pick me up here in our orchestra bus.
Oh, are you leaving town again?
Yeah, we got a one-night stand in Chicago.
A one-night stand? You and the boys are going all the way to Chicago for that?
Well, the boys just couldn't turn this down, Jack.
Gee, it must be quite an important occasion.
I'll say it is. Petrella's dog is going to be a year old.
Oh, yes. Yasha Heifetz left this morning. Oh, Bob, I don't mean to be rude, but I want to get all these rows planted by 6 o'clock.
Well, why 6 o'clock?
As soon as it's dark, his health has to run for the border.
Mary, stop making things up. I do all the work myself.
Si, senor.
You keep quiet and put on a dry shirt. Say, Bob, as long as...
Well, that must be the boys, Jack. I better get going.
I'll walk around to the front with you, Bob.
I got to be running along, too. Say, Bob, it must be nice for the orchestra to have their own bus to travel around in.
Yeah, say, it's a nice bus, too. But, Bob, why is all that smoke coming out of the exhaust?
Well, kerosene always smokes that way.
Kerosene? Why don't you use gasoline?
Well, we tried that, but you see, when the boys smell anything over 80 octane, they run for the olive.
You mean they'd actually drink gasoline?
Well, Bagby even drinks the kerosene.
No.
Yeah, at night the boys stick a wick in his head and use him to read by. Well, I gotta be going anyway.
Okay, Bob, I'll be seeing you.
So long.
Have a nice trip.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Mary.
What a crazy gang. Look at them in the bus there.
Yeah, and look at that license plate. Brew 102.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, I better be getting home.
All right, I'll have Rochester get the car out.
Oh, no, Jack, it's such a nice day. I'd rather walk. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, goodbye, Mary.
Bye.
Well, I suppose I better get back to work. Yeah, I've had enough for one day. I think I'll go in the house and clean up.
Fresh vegetables, tomatoes, lettuce, string beans... Hey, mister, would you like to buy some nice fresh veggies? Oh, it's you.
What?
You ain't fooling nobody with these petunias and tulips out here in front. I know what's going on in that backyard.
All right, so I raise a few things to eat.
Look, mister, I haven't made a sale all day. Why don't you give me a break or buy something?
Well, all right. I'll take a dozen oranges.
A dozen oranges?
2 dozen pears.
2 dozen pears.
And a half a dozen apples.
And a half a dozen... I knew it, I knew it. Everything with seeds.
But...
It ain't enough you're growing vegetables. Now you gotta start with the fruits.
But I own...
If you want to be out of business, get an injunction. Goodbye.
Some businessman. If he's so worried about competition, why doesn't he buy me out? The Wang Fu Laundry did. Oh, well, I guess I'll go in and clean up. I'll just slip into this clean shirt.
Well, hello, Jack.
Don, where'd you come from?
Oh, I came in the back way. I thought you'd be working in the garden.
Well, I was, Don, but I've had enough for one day now.
Gee, and I talked the sportsmen into coming over to help you.
The sportsmen? Where are they?
They're out there working now. I'll call them in.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute, Don. They don't seem to mind working in my yard. They're even singing.
They are?
Yeah, I'll open the window. We can listen.
From the vine came the grape. From the grape came the wine. From the wine came a dream to a lover. He was back with Marie on the Isle of Capri, with a million stars shining above her. They don't know e ballando, baciando e di. They de novo quel fuoco in me. From the vine came the grape, from the grape came the wine, and for Tony a wonderful time. From the seed came the plant, from the plant came the leaf, from the leaf came that fine light tobacco. That's what makes Lucky Strike, and that better taste you like. 20 perfect smokes in every tackle. Light a Lucky, start puffing, and you'll say there is nothing with better taste, it's Lucky's I like. From the plant came the leaf, from the leaf came tobacco, from tobacco fine and light comes Lucky's Strike. Yes, Lucky's the smoke you will light.
Gee, those... You know, those boys are clever. They have a commercial for everything. And they're such good workers, too.
I'll get it, boss.
Okay.
Mr. Benny's residence, star of stage, screen, radio, television, and if the farmer's market hasn't got it, we have. What's that? Yes, he's right here. It's for you, Mr. Wilson. It's your wife.
Oh, thank you, Rochester. Hello, dear. How many guests are we having for dinner tonight? Oh. Well, then I suggest we have hors d'oeuvre, soup, nice Caesar salad, and for meats, I'd say a couple of chickens, an 8-pound roast, and a chafing dish full of meatball. Yeah, I think that ought to do it. You're welcome, dear. Goodbye.
Don, who's your wife having for dinner tonight?
Just me. The rest canceled out.
I should have known, Don.
By the way, Jack, perhaps you'd like to come over for dinner.
Oh, some other time, Don. You know, I've been working so much that I want to lie down for a while. You know, I'm kind of tired from all the gardening I've done.
Jack, don't tell me you planted vegetables again this year.
Certainly. Why shouldn't I?
I thought you'd give up after those awful beans you grew last year.
Look, Don.
Those beans were so lousy, even your garbage disposal threw them back at you.
Oh, stop.
Dog, Jack.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Gee, I really am tired.
I'm sleepy, too.
I worked hard today. I think I'll lie down on the sofa here. Ah, that feels good.
What's everybody picking on my beans for?
So last year they weren't so big.
This year they'll be great.
That new chemical fertilizer is guaranteed to make anything grow. Say, I wonder if... Nah, it'll probably burn my head.
I can't wait till those beans come up.
I'll show everybody. I'll show him. Just a second ago, I was inside. What am I doing out here in the garden? Say, look what happened to my beans. The beanstalk goes way up to the sky, through the clouds. I can't even see the top of it. Well, I'm going to climb to the top. I'm going to be like Jack in the beanstalk. I better rest. I must have climbed 500 feet, and I'm nowhere near the top. Gee, look how small everything looks down there. Hey, the rest of my garden is growing, too. Look at that tremendous honeydew melon. Oh, no, it's Sammy the drummer's head. Well, I better start climbing again. I'm nearly a mile high. Gee, from way up here, you can see everything in Beverly Hills. Look, there's the California Bank. And say, there's Esther Williams out in her backyard taking a sunbath. Gosh, what a predicament. I don't know which to look at. Gee, if I lean out real far, I can see the entire city of Los Angeles. Gee, it looks... Gee, the branch broke. I'm falling. I'll be killed. Gosh. I'm not even hurt a bit. Wow, am I lucky. I landed on the smog. I never knew the Los Angeles smog was thick enough to support you. But then it's been supporting comedians for years. Well, I better start climbing back up. Here I am at the top. See, look at this place. It's fantastic. Look at the trees. There's money growing on them. Gee, I'm a stranger in paradise. Hey, what's the matter? The sky is getting dark. Gee, what's that?
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of a comedian.
Say, are you the giant?
No, I'm the assistant giant. You better go see the giant. He owns this place.
Oh. Well, can you take me to him?
I haven't got time. I got to mow these clouds. See you later. Ding, 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 ding.
Well... I better go see the giant, but I don't know where he lives.
Hello, Jackie boy.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Fine. Are you going to give me a great big kiss like you always do?
Sure. Here.
Oh. Oh, that was wonderful. Oh, kiss me again.
She has nothing to do with Jack and the Beanstalk, folks. I always dream about her. Well, I better go see the giant. Gee, I wish I knew where he lives. I'll ask that rabbit. Excuse me, Mr. Rabbit.
What's up, Dad?
I'm looking for the giant's house. Do you know where he lives?
Yeah, it's the second castle around the corner, Doc.
Thank you. And for being so nice, I'm going to send you a big bunch of carrots.
Oh, no thanks, chum. I'm on a diet. I was getting so fat I couldn't move.
No kidding.
Yeah, I wasn't happy because I was too hippie to hoppy.
Oh.
Say, why do you keep staring at me like that?
Oh, I didn't mean to be rude, Mr. Rabbit, but you remind me an awful lot of a friend of mine, Frank Remley.
Oh, is he a rabbit?
No, but he's got pink eyes, too. But his nose stays still and his head twitches. Well, I gotta go to the giant's house.
So long, Benny.
So long, Bunny. I'm off to see the giant. Well, here's the giant's house. I'm gonna knock on the door. Gee, look at the giant's laundry hanging out there on the line. Gosh, he has the biggest underwear I ever saw. The V in BVD looks like a Cadillac. Uh-oh, I hear someone coming to open the door.
Come in.
I'd like to... Wait a minute. Mary, what are you doing here?
I'm the giant's wife.
Just because I kissed that girl? You're the giant's wife?
And he's a big giant, too. He's 70 feet tall. Here he comes now.
Say, are you the giant?
Yes, I'm a big one, aren't I?
Look, I want to discuss some business with you.
Hey, now, don't bother me. I have to feed my chicken that lays the golden egg.
You have a chicken that lays golden eggs?
Sure. It's that one at your feet. Watch. Go ahead, chicky. Lay a golden egg.
Imagine that, a chicken that lays golden eggs. What do you call it?
Barbara Hutton.
Oh.
Hey, now, you said you wanted to see me about business. What is it?
Well, your castle and everything else is on top of a beanstalk, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, the beanstalk is growing in my garden, so everything here belongs to me.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. And first, I'm going to take this wonderful chicken, the one that lays the golden egg. Here, chick, 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 chick. There, there. I've got you. Come on.
Yeah, that chicken's mine. Put it down.
No, sir, I'm taking it back to my house with me.
Well, I'm coming after you.
He's gaining on it. Oh, I ran off the edge of the beanstalk. I'm falling. I'm falling. Flap your wings, chicken, and give me some help. This is awful. I'm falling.
Balls!
I'll be killed. I'll be killed.
Balls, wake up! Wake up!
I'll be... Huh? Oh, it's you, Rochester. Gosh, what a dream I was having. Rochester, I dreamt I had a chicken that laid golden eggs.
Well, stop squeezing that pillow. All you're getting out of it is feathers.
Rochester, fix me something to eat. That climbing gave me an appetite. Ladies and gentlemen, the very best Easter gift of all is the support you give through Easter Seals to children who need your help. These seals provide medical care, nursery centers, and many other things that are needed. So give and give generously to the Easter Seal Agency in your community, or send your contribution to Crippled Children, care of your local post office. Thank you.
Jack will be back in just a minute, but first, a word from the sweetheart of Lucky Strike.
Hi, friends. This is Dorothy Collins. You know, I'll bet that if someone asked you why you smoked, what it was exactly you liked about a cigarette, I'll bet the important word in your answer would be taste. Because, gee, isn't good taste what everybody wants in a cigarette? Smoking enjoyment is all a matter of taste. And the fact of the matter is, Lucky's taste better. And there are two good reasons why that's true. In the first place, LSNST. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Naturally mild, good-tasting tobacco. And second, Luckies are made better to taste better. Made round and firm and fully packed to draw freely and smoke evenly. And that, friends, is the whole story. That's exactly why Luckies taste better. Because Luckies are made with fine tobacco. And because they're made better. Why don't you try a carton soon? Be happy. Go Lucky. How about it? Luckies taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother.
Luckies taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother. For Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, richer tasting. Fine tobacco.
Luckies taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother. Lucky Strike. Lucky Strike.
Night, everybody. We're a little late.
The Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsberg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Al Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. The Jack Benny program is brought to you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes.
Stay tuned now for Amos and Andy, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
KNX, AM and FM, Los Angeles.
We're very happy and proud to bring to you the co-presidents of the What is the Afternoon Fine Arts League,
Daisy and Mindy,
in Colts Porter's great number, Friendship Maestro.
All right, it's time for another wonderful Phil Harris and Alice Faye episode called Who Sent Flowers? And here to discuss it is Mindy. Yay!
Hi.
So this was a cute little episode. We find out that they have a dog. I think it's funny how in shows dogs conveniently appear and disappear.
Mm-hmm. I think the Brady Bunch did that too.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah, I know it happened in I Love Lucy. I can think of one instance. And I know that there was a previous episode where they talked about getting a dog. But I can't remember if they actually got it. But there's a dog named Herman in this one, and I thought that was cute. Because I guess now that I started the story, I got a stuffed animal once from a friend, and I named it Sherman.
Oh.
Which rhymes with Herman. So, fun memories right there.
Well, good.
So, did you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It's one of those episodes where I don't feel like there's a lot for me to say. It's funny. I think you can see the punchline coming when you listen to it, but It's still funny anyway. And just because of the... It always goes back to Alice because she's just so good at delivering her lines. And
yeah,
it's good to hear from her in this one. She's been so scarce.
I know. She has so. Been. Was Julius in this one?
Yeah.
I just realized I don't remember him in it. I must have spaced mm-hmm. out.
Yep, about I think it was about halfway through.
Okay.
He's always there. He's never yeah. not going to be there. Right.
Okay. I just didn't make a note about it. So for a second yeah. I was like, wait, was he in it?
Yeah, he wasn't as much a part of it as he normally is. I think he was more there for, you know, just some funny lines. And they are funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was kind of fun that we meet Phil's dad.
Yeah.
I don't recall that happened before, but yeah. So you get to meet Phil's dad in this, and it was an interesting conversation he had with his dad. a few notes that I took is there's a poem that's referenced, and the poem is called Trees by Joyce Kilmer. And it starts out, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as soon as they started it, I was like, I know that poem, but I couldn't remember it. So I looked it up. And I think it's funny that I remember the first two lines, and I remember the last two lines, like having heard them before, but not the in-between stuff.
Yeah.
Like the last two lines are... Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. So have you heard those before?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I
was going to like, but the rest of it I hadn't heard of. But it's easily found on the internet. So if you want to look it up, it's called Trees by Joyce Kilmer. And it's really short. So that was one of the notes I took. And then another note was they mentioned shrunken heads.
Yeah.
And I looked up shrunken heads because I'm weird that way. And I had always associated them with Africa. But they come from... It's only been documented in the northwestern region of the Amazon rainforest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
Yeah, because I think they do get associated with Africa a lot. I'm not entirely sure why, but
yeah,
they're pretty cool. I mean, they're gross, but...
Yeah, they're cool in a gross way.
They're real things, so that's fun.
Yeah. And what I was reading talked about how they make them and stuff, and I guess one of the reasons that the tribes that did this originally did it was they thought they could harness the spirit of their enemy and have that spirit serve them, and also it prevented the soul of their enemy from avenging their death. So
it's awesome. That's an awesome theory. I have some shrunken heads I'd like to make myself.
Yeah, and it's got a I was reading about a little bit about the trade in shrunken heads, and it kind of reminded me of when it was illegal for medical students to do autopsies on dead bodies.
Right.
So they turned to grave robbing, and then there was mm-hmm. this big case where people stopped robbing graves and just went the easy route and just started knocking off people.
Right.
Apparently, in the shrunken head business, when people realized that people would pay for these... they would start going for, you know, first the people who are already dead. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as that supply dies down, they go after real people.
Right.
Or even monkeys or goats just to fake them.
Right.
So it was actually kind of interesting reading all about shrunken heads. And I've probably grossed everyone out, but, you know.
Well, and it's still going on because that's the argument that they've made about those... kind of plasticized real human bodies that I think they're made in China and they tour the world, and it's you can see like the insides of people. They like, or sometimes they just bisect them, or, you know, basically, I don't want to say dipped in plastic, but that's pretty much what happens to them. They just become almost like jerky, human jerky. It's really, really gross. But anyway, they said these are all people that consented to donate their bodies for this cause. And there's, I watched this big undercover investigation. A lot of transients started going missing when this exhibition like went really popular. So, yeah. So that kind of thing, it's like it may change form, but the idea is still there.
Yeah.
If you live a low profile life, you may be knocked off for some kind of shrinking, plasticizing, or harvesting of some kind.
Oh dear.
It's a very dark episode of No.
We kind of took it into the dark realm. If you listen to the episode, you'll be in the light realm. Oh goodness. I didn't really have much else to say about the episode. There's just one thing at the end. After the episode had ended, they were doing a little spiel for Dr. Norman Vincent's pill, The Power of Positive Thinking. I didn't realize it went back that far. Like that concept, that whole idea of positive thinking. And I don't know. I surprised myself by the things I get surprised at sometimes. So I was kind of surprised at myself for being surprised that that idea was around.
Yeah.
Then, you know, because I don't know. I just have weird beliefs in my head, I guess, about when things came to be.
That makes sense.
So, did you have any final thoughts on the episode now that we've grossed everyone out? Maybe we
can. Anytime I gross someone out, I always feel like my work is done. So.
Well, then we're probably done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll sign off now and let everyone listen to this episode of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. Joe.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show transcribed, written by Jack Douglas and Marvin Fisher, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, the orchestra under the direction of Skip Martin, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. First, a word from RCA Victor. Ladies, how would you like a permanent vacation from cooking drudgery? Now, I can't promise you a full-time kitchen maid, but I can promise you years of easier cooking with a new RCA Estate Space King range. Whether you choose a gas or electric Space King, RCA brings you features never before found in a range so compact. It's only 30 inches wide, yet the enormous oven is 2 feet across. Insulizer walls keep your kitchen really cool. And the RCA Estate Space King is so gracefully styled with a one-piece top, lovely to look at, easy to clean. Electric models have a radiant high broiler, 4 fast 7-heat units, and automatic clock control with minute alarm. Oh, I could go on and on, but it's so much easier to simply invite you to see the new RCA Estate Space King ranges, priced as low as $149.95. They're at your dealers now. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Well, the Harris household is pretty quiet today. As a matter of fact, Phil is still sleeping. But the RCA clock radio beside his bed is slowly approaching the hour when he will be awakened to the soft, soothing strains of beautiful music.
Al, wait a minute. What happened? What was that?
Oh, Phil, it's just the clock radio.
Alice, how many times have I told you not to wake me up with Herbert Clark and his Silver Cornet Long Beach Municipal Park Band? Yesterday, before I knew what I was doing, I marched halfway to Vine Street in my pajamas. Hey, wait a minute, Alice. What are you doing all dressed?
Well, I've got to go to the beauty shop, and I'm late now. I'll see you a little later.
Wait a minute, honey. Alice! Well, she really was in a hurry. Well, I guess I'll just stay in bed a little while and read. That's what I'll do. I'll just whistle out the window and tell my dog to bring in the morning paper. Go get the paper, Herman. That's right, get the morning paper. Yeah, the morning paper. Then bring it to me here at the window. No, Herman. This is a quart of milk. Now go back and get the paper. That's right, the morning paper. Now, go ahead and bring it to me. No, Herman, that's a quart of... It's too early, Herman. Much too early, Herman. Now think. Just watch me and think, Herman. I want the morning paper, not the milk, or not the too early. Just the paper, huh? That's right. Now you understand, the morning paper. So go get it, huh? Now what have you brought me, Herman?
I'm the milkman, and tell him to put me down.
Hey, never mind, Herman. Never mind the paper. I'll just...
Hiya, Curly.
Hey, Elliot, where'd you come from?
I've been waiting in the front room till you woke up. I didn't want to come in too early because I know how foggy and mixed up and confused you are in the morning.
Well, what's the idea of coming in here and making a crack like that? I'm as wide awake in the morning as anybody else. Can't you see I'm dressed? I've got on my bathrobe and my bedroom slippers.
Bathrobe and bedroom slippers? Curly, you're wearing Alice's mink coat and two waste paper baskets.
Well, they feel so good, I may leave them on all day. Hey, if you want to help me, though, you may draw my bath for me.
Curly, I didn't mean to upset you. Do you want your bath fixed the usual way?
Of course.
Okay. Now, let me see. Some oil of pine. Now, some essence of hyacinth. Some lavender baby breath. And now...
Hold it.
Hmm?
Another jigger of that baby breath.
All right. And now to add some taboo. Now, let me see. Hey, Curly, what'd I leave out?
Water.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough! Now, turn your back.
Why?
Just turn your back, that's all.
Why, Curly, I've seen you in your saucy Susie sleeping sack before.
Look, Elliot, it's not that. It's just that I want to add my secret beauty ingredient to the bath water.
What is it?
Well, will you promise not to tell anybody?
Yeah. What's your secret beauty ingredient?
Adolph's meat tenderizer.
Curly, I think you're wise to try and stay as young as you can for as long as you can.
What do you mean?
Well, before you got up, I've been answering the phone and... Oh, Curly, I hate to be the one to tell you. Funny how the husband is always the last one to know.
What? Wait a minute, what is this?
No, no. I don't want to snitch on Alice.
Look, Elliot, don't be cute. Alice and I have no secrets from each other. And besides, everything that Alice does is aces with me. Everything she does is all right. You understand? Everything.
Well, some guy just called up and said to tell Alice he was free for the date tonight.
Everything but that. Look, this early in the morning, you ain't gonna start kidding me about no guy calling up and wanting
of
to know.
Of course not. Gee, now that I see how upset you got, I'm sure glad I didn't mention those other five guys who called. Curly, no. No, Curly. Curly, I'm too young to die. Too young, I tell you, Curly. I still got 10,000 words left in my paper-made pen.
Look, Elliot, I don't want you to get the idea that I'm jealous. It's just that a thing like this never happened before. No, 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 Herman, no, no. I want the morning paper. Now take that thing back. Get out of here with that. Wonder how he got that fire hydrant unscrewed.
Hey, Curly, he's quite a dog, isn't he?
Yeah, but I gotta get him a doghouse. Keeps bringing home telephone booths. But look, Elliot, getting back to you. Now, it's my honest opinion that, well, them phone calls, it's merely a coincidence. Maybe even wrong numbers.
Yeah, that's it, Curly. Wrong numbers.
Anybody home? I brought some flowers.
Hi, Julius.
Julius, what's a grocery boy doing delivering flowers?
Well, I told Joe the florist I was coming up this way, so he asked me to deliver this basket of flowers to Miss Faye.
Basket of flowers to Miss Faye? These flowers must have cost at least $35.
Mr. Harris, whoever spent the money on those flowers, I could have saved them at least 40%. My Uncle Ezio's got his own flower shop. Well, you should see some of Uncle Ezio's flowers. Where he's got long-stemmed roses with stems 12 feet tall.
Who wants roses with 12-foot stems?
Oh, he sells dozens of them during the giraffe mating season. My uncle is one of the greatest when it comes to horticulturism.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He's the one who invented the wartless pickle, the spineless cactus, and the hairless banana.
A banana don't have any hair on it.
No? Did you ever see one after a kid dropped it on a barbershop floor?
All right, kid. Barbershop floor.
In addition to his success as a flower creator, my uncle's genius has manifested itself in other ways. He's the one who crossed a parrot with a boa constrictor.
Well, I know I'll end up with my head in a sling, but I'm going to ask anyway. Julius, your uncle crossed the parrot with a boa constrictor?
Yeah.
What happened?
When this parrot says, Polly wants a cracker, you better give it to him. That came with them flowers for Miss Faye. Here it is. See you later.
Hey, Ellie.
What's it?
Get a load of what it says on this card. Of all the cornball things I ever heard of. Listen to this. To Alice, you'll always be my angel eyes. Yours truly, your little lamb chop.
Curly. Your little lamb chop?
Yeah. That's right. Your little lamb chop. If I can get my hands on him, I'll ruin his paper panties. Lamb chops. Look, this thing is getting too big for me.
Where are you going, Curly?
I'm going over to see my dad. When a man's home is being broken up, a boy needs his father.
Fairy tales can come true.
It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on the way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here's the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
It's a treasure on earth to be young at heart. Better by far to be young at heart.
And if you should survive to 105,
look at all you derive out of being alive.
And here is the best part, you have a head start
if you are among the very young at heart.
Well, I guess the best place to find Dad is out in his hobby shop. That's where he spends most of his time.
Hey, Dad! Dad, are you in there?
Oh, hello, son. Come on in. Watch it. Just step right over that stuffed alligator. He isn't dead yet.
Dad, you ought to tidy up this hobby shop. You've got more darn junk around here.
No, it's not junk, son. Everything here has a purpose.
Oh, well, look, Dad, I'd like to talk to you about something very important.
Yep, everything here has a purpose. Now, you take these things here. They're shrunken heads from Africa.
They're real shrunken human heads?
Yeah. I put all those little holes in the top of them and make wonderful salt and pepper shakers. Easy to tell the pepper from the salt. He's the one that's smiling.
But Dad, I wanted to talk. Yes, look, Dad. I don't want to bother you about this thing, but, well, something terrible has happened, Dad. Something that's liable to break me and Alice up.
Well, son, marriage is a proposition of giving a little and taking a little. Whatever you do, don't be stubborn like your Uncle Purvis.
Uncle Purvis?
There was a stubborn man, son. When he found out the freeway was going through his property, he said he wasn't going to let him. In fact, when those steamrollers came, he went out and told him he wasn't budging.
Uncle Purvis did that?
Mm-hmm. Those steamrollers started for him, but Uncle Purvis didn't move. They came closer and closer, but he stood his ground. Like I say, son, in marriage, you shouldn't be too stubborn.
But, Dad, what happened to Uncle Purvis?
You know that long flat carpet we have in the hallway?
Well, thanks for the advice, Dad.
You're welcome, son. Anytime.
Hey, Elliot.
Hmm?
Elliot, did Alice call while I was gone?
No sign of her yet.
I wonder where she could be.
Well, if you want a clue, why don't you go out in the kitchen and see if there's a bottle of ketchup missing?
Bottle of ketchup? What for?
Well, she might be out with lamb chop. Pretty funny, huh, girlie?
No, it was not funny.
Well, take out my backbone and I'll sag to death. Can't imagine who could have sent Alice that great big basket of flowers. It couldn't have been Marlon Brando. He's too young for Alice. It couldn't have been Mickey Rooney. He's too old for her. Maybe by a process of elimination. What? All right, wait a minute. Hold it a minute. What's the matter with you? What are you doing? What's that for?
Well, I figured while you were planning where you'd go to get your divorce, I'd practice my kazoo.
Oh, fine. I'm in the depths of despair, and you're thinking about your career.
It's your career, too. What about Curly's Kazoo 5?
What?
Curly's Kazoo 5. Didn't we just organize him? And we're going to play our first job next week?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Curly, I've been thinking as the feature of that engagement, I could play a kazoo solo combined with a recitation. It would be very effective. Something like this. I think that I shall never see...
Will you stop?
A poem lovely as a tree.
Look, Ellie. I don't want to hear nothing about no trees or nothing about no poems or no trees. Now, if you want to know something, I don't like trees.
You don't like trees? How can you say that? If we didn't have trees, where would we get the wood for doors?
Who cares?
Where would we get the wood for furniture, television sets, station wagons?
Who cares?
Where would we get the lumber to build cocktail bars?
Who? Wait till I get my axe. I'll go with you.
I knew you'd see it my way. Hey, Curly, don't be so brought down. Even if Alice has met some other man, it's probably all very innocent.
Innocent?
Innocent.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Why am I getting so steamed up about it? So silly.
Sure. You gotta expect little things like this.
Yeah.
That blonde hair of Alice's is very beautiful. It would attract any young, handsome South American millionaire.
Why, certainly. A guy'd be nuts not... How'd he get in there?
Well, it's just that there's a convention of South American millionaires from Brazil in town, and if Alice just happened to smile at one of those romantic Latin caballeros, it would be vox pastorum silica semper tyrannis absolutum.
What do you mean by that?
You may be writing to Alice in care of a banana boat. Curly, you don't want her going to Brazil, do you?
No, I should say not.
Okay, she's coming up the front walk right now. If she were my wife, I'd know what to do.
So do I. I'll put a stop to this in a hurry.
Hello, Phil.
Now, don't lie to me, Alice. You've been out chasing around with a tall, good-looking South American plantation owner from Brazil.
What?
Don't deny it. I can smell the coffee on your breath.
I did have a cup of coffee this afternoon.
And where did you go after that?
Well, to a jewelry store. And I went to a store and picked out some lingerie.
Wait for me, Clyde. Alice, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to our marriage?
What?
Well, our tender love has been like a seed. We nursed it with the warm sunshine of our hearts. We kept it alive through the seasons together. We protected it, sheltered it until it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Stop that, will you, Elliot?
Wait a minute, Curly. You wouldn't hit a guy with a nest of robins in his hair, would you?
This, Phil, would you please explain what's going on
here?
Oh,
no. You're the one that has a little explaining to do.
Curly thinks you've been running around with another man.
Another man? How could I meet another man? Phil, the way you watch me, you should have gotten one of those look awards.
Okay,
Okay, so I am a little jealous. But look, if you don't want to steam me, baby, just answer a few questions. Just a few questions.
Sure. What do you want to know, Green Eyes?
Just why did you go to the beauty shop today instead of your regular day? And another thing, why did you go so early?
Because I had to take the bus.
Why didn't you take your car?
Because your car was blocking the driveway.
Why didn't you move it?
Because it was upside down.
Curly, you were parked upside down?
Well, it looked like rain, and it was easier than putting the top up. Don't change the subject, Alice. Now, several men called right here and asked for you. Now, who were they?
Well, if you're so snoopy, why didn't you find out what they wanted?
Yeah, it would have been easy, Curly. You could have told him you were Alice with a sinus condition.
That'd be funny. Look, Alice, I want to know who those men were and who was the knucklehead you were getting so pretty for in that beauty shop.
All right, Bad 714, I'll tell you. The men who called me this afternoon were Ralph, Bobby, Tommy, Red, Alvino, Pete, Sam, Joe, Marvin, Jack, Bill, and Ed. All members of your band. The reason they called was to tell me they were accepting my invitation for a little surprise gathering here at the house tonight in your honor. And the knucklehead I was getting so pretty for at the beauty shop was you. Now what have you got to say?
I'll go put a couple more nickels in the parking lot.
Wait! Okay, Alice. Now, that explains part of it. But there's just one more little item. You see that gigantic basket of flowers over there? Who sent those to you?
Golly, I don't know, Phil. Maybe one of the fellas in the band.
Oh, no. They ain't gonna hold no water. I'm gonna call Joe the florist right now and find out who sent them flowers. One of my guys, son. I got some real bird brains in that band, but they ain't none of them that's a big enough idiot to sign his name Lamb Chop. I know. Oh, hello, Joe. Hey, Joe. This is Phil Harris. Yeah, Phil Harris, yeah. Who sent that big basket of flowers to Alice Faye today? Who? Oh. Well. Thanks, Joe. Alice, honey, why didn't you tell me that it was our anniversary?
I thought you knew, Ralph.
Ah, baby, you're the greatest.
Well, who sent the flowers, Ralph?
Well, I was so afraid I'd forget our anniversary again that... Well, I ordered them a year ago.
Hey, Ralph, you're a metal case. How about the card, Ralph, huh?
What do I know? It was Saturday night, and maybe that's the way I felt when I wrote it.
What, you nuts, Ralph? You mean?
Yeah. Shake hands with a lamb chop. Hey, Elliot, what's the best investment a fella can make?
That's cinch, Curly. Marry a rich widow.
No. I mean where you get the most return for your money.
Once I thought the answer was Santa Anita, but...
I'm talking about television, Elliot. And the answer is RCA Victor.
All right, Mr. Interlocutor. Why?
All right, you asked me, so I'll tell you. According to independently published reports, RCA Victor 21-inch table model TV outperformed 9 other leading makes.
Sounds good.
You bet it's good.
This set rated higher in both distance and nearby reception than all other 21-inch table models tested.
I see what you mean.
And in the new Master 21 model, you can get this famous 21-inch RCA Victor chassis with the same great picture for as little as $199.95.
Well, that makes it the best buy in all television. Is that right, Bill?
You said it, Elliot. You can't match the Master 21 for value. Costs only $199.95, yet it gives you all these famous RCA Victor advances. Rotomatic tuning, golden throat fidelity sound, the automatic magic monitor circuit system. See the new Master 21 at your RCA Victor dealers now. And remember, a factory service contract for expert installation and maintenance is available in almost all TV areas, only to RCA Victor television owners.
We're a little late. Thanks and good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.
In this program transcribed were Dick LeGrand, Pinto Colvig, and Jack Crucian. Part of Julius was played by Walter Tetley. This has been an NBC Radio Network presentation. What are the secrets of success and happiness? Dr. Norman Vincent Peale tells you on RCA Victor Records. In this remarkable record album, called The Power of Positive Thinking, Dr. Peale, world-famous minister, writer, psychologist, and broadcaster, narrates his step-by-step formula for your personal and your business success, a formula followed by thousands. Ask your dealer tomorrow for Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's extraordinarily inspiring RCA Victor album, The Power of Positive Thinking.
Hear the DuPont Radio Awards following John Cameron Swayze and the news on the NBC Radio Network.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from the 1943-44 season. Tonight's episode is kind of a changing of the guard a little bit. We are going to have Butterfly McQueen, who's been on the majority of this season. She's been on some episodes and off some episodes, but she's played Rochester's niece and, of course, Mary's maid. And Butterfly McQueen probably is known best for playing Prissy in Gone with the Wind. She was in a lot of other films, some big films, some small films. She was in Cabin in the Sky, which, of course, Rochester was in. She was also in Jewel in the Sun, that's right, which was a big film. And then in the 1950s, she started doing some television, and she was on Beulah, which, of course, is the spin-off series of Fibbing and Molly that we've recently introduced the Beulah character, actually, on the 1944 season of Fibbing and Molly. Well, Beulah becomes gets a television show from 1950-1953, and she was Butterfly McQueen was on four episodes playing the character of Ariel, so, or Oriole, I'm not sure how you pronounce the name. But she was in various movies. I Dude It, which of course is a Red Skelton film. And she was in Mildred Pierce and Killer Diller, so just various things. The last big film she did was Mosquito Coast in 1986. The Changing the Guard I refer to is this is her last episode for quite a while. She'll come back one more time in May and make one more appearance, and then she will not be on the Jack Benny Show ever again. The person that comes in now in this episode is Mel Blanc, playing one of his first recurring roles in this series, and he plays the character of Herman Peabody, And this is the first time he'll be playing Herman Peabody on tonight's episode, and he'll play Herman Peabody on a number of episodes coming up. This is the season where Mel Blanc really starts becoming more of a regular on the show and less of the sporadic featured character. He becomes at least a semi-regular. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you later.
Springtime in Southern California. Flowers are blooming, the sun is sending down its glorious rays, while the birds are singing in the trees. So like the birds, let us fly to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills. At the moment, Rochester is dusting the living room.
Besame, besame mucho. Each time I cling to your lips, I hear music divine. My, my, clean this room and I clean this room. And before you know it, it's dusty again. Seems like I'm in here every month. Oh, well. Besame, besame mucho, como si fueras de noche la última vez.
Rochester, what are you doing in there?
Just a little spring cleaning, boss.
Oh, well, don't dust the table. I've got a couple of phone numbers written on it.
Phone numbers?
Yes, one in particular, Gloria Bagelquist. Very good friend of mine.
Uh-oh, I just wiped out a beautiful friendship.
Oh, for heaven's sake, why did you have to clean the table anyway?
But, boss, I didn't know it was a table till I got through dusting it.
Now, that's silly. Didn't you see those Duncan Fife legs?
Uh-huh.
Well, what'd you think it was?
Gloria Bagelquist.
Oh, stop being funny and go on with your cleaning. I'll be in the library.
Okay. Dum da dum. Dum da da dum da dum. Well, look what's on top of the piano. Mr. Benny's violin. Maybe I ought to dust that too. And look what's up here on the mantle. Nail clippers. All I have to do is clip the strings on this violin, and I will replace the dog as man's best friend. Now, Clippers, don't get nervous. All you gotta do is bite those strings, like this. There. Now I better hide the fiddle in this closet before Mr. Benny.
Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boy!
What was that sound I just heard?
It wasn't Besame Mush!
Rochester, there's something funny going on in here. I want to know just what it was. Now, what was that sound I heard?
Sound?
That plink, 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 plink.
Plink, 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 plink?
Yes.
Well, let me think, 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 think.
Think, 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 think.
About the plink, 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 plink.
Now, cut that out.
Okay, let's both forget it.
Rochester, I don't know what's come over you lately. You're getting so silly, sometimes I... Come in!
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary.
It was such a beautiful day, I went for a walk and thought I'd drop in.
Well, I'm glad you did. I called up the whole gang this morning to come over for a swim in my pool, but you weren't home.
A swimming party? Gee, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But, Jack, if you're inviting people to your house, you ought to get rid of that camel. The odor is something awful.
What are you talking about? My camel's out in the backyard, and we're in the house with the doors closed.
I know, but that smell is strong enough to turn the doorknob.
Well, Mary, if you were living here, you'd get used to it.
Jack, if that's a proposal, that camel isn't helping any.
I'm not proposing. Anyway, Mary, I can't get rid of the camel because I hired an Arab to take care of it. A real Egyptian Arab.
A real Arab from Egypt?
Yeah.
Well, gee, doesn't he miss the desert?
Yes, but I take him to Azusa twice a week. Mondays and Thursdays. Say, Mary, if you stay for my swimming party, you'll get to see him later.
Okay.
Here, give me your jacket, and I'll hang it up in this closet.
Thanks.
You know when the... Well, I'll be... Look, my violin and the strings have been cut. Rochester! Rochester!
You call me, boss?
Now, Rochester, why did you cut the strings on my violin?
I just wanted to prove something.
Prove what?
That life can be beautiful.
I can't understand you, Rochester. I don't know why you keep doing things to make me unhappy. You know what I'm going to do with you?
Oh, boss, are we going on Mr. Anthony's program again?
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves, yourself cutting the strings on my violin. Don't you like music? Mary, stop laughing. You'll only encourage him to do it again.
I know.
Well, come on, the gang ought to be here any minute now. Let's go out in the kitchen and prepare a little snack.
Okay. Oh, Jack, I think I'll phone my house and tell Butterfly to bring my bathing suit over.
Sure, go right ahead.
Oh, gee, I've only got 4 pennies.
That's all right, you can owe me a penny. Don't worry about it.
Okay, here.
Thanks. While you're phoning, Mary, I'll make some toast for the sandwiches.
Okay. Jack, the line was busy.
Oh, here.
Jack!
Oh. I'm sorry, I had a little mayonnaise on my finger. Now, come on, Mary, help me with the sandwiches, will you? Da-da-dum, dee-da-da-dum, sweet Georgia Brown. Dee-da-da-dum, dee-da-dum-dum, dee-da-da-dum. Gee, I hope the gang gets here pretty soon. Gee, it'd be fun getting in that pool now that the nice weather is here.
It sure will. Say, Jack, when did you have the pool filled?
Oh, about 3 weeks ago.
Who did it?
Are you kidding? No, it did rain a little, you know.
Say, if I expect to get my bathing suit, I better call Butterfly again.
You don't have to, Mary. My girlfriend, Gladys Abisco, left her suit here. You can wear that.
Jack, her suit would be much too big for me.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. Gladys isn't so fat. She's just broad across the hips.
I know, but her hips run clear up to her shoulders.
Oh, Mary, stop being catty.
Well, I'm going to phone Butterfly and get my own suit.
Okay. Thanks.
Hello? Hello, Butterfly. This is Miss Livingston. I've been trying to get you, but the line's been busy.
Oh, yes. My boyfriend Jerome called, and he wanted to take me to a movie. May I have the night off?
Why, certainly, Butterfly. Anytime Jerome comes in from camp, it's perfectly all right.
Thank you. He's taking me to see Madame Curie.
Madame Curie? Butterfly, I thought you saw that picture last night.
I did, but I didn't understand it.
Well, do you think you'll understand it tonight?
Who cares? I'll be with Jerome.
Oh, I see.
Don't tell Jerome.
I won't.
Mary, hurry up. Tell her to bring your bathing suit.
Okay. Well, look, Butterfly, the reason I called is that I want you to bring my bathing suit over to Mr. Benny's house.
Oh, hasn't he got one of his own?
No, Butterfly, I'm going to wear it. It's in the bottom dresser drawer on the right-hand side.
Yes, ma'am. But, Miss Livingston, I don't know how to get to Mr. Benny's house.
Oh, well, look. First, you go to the corner of Lexington.
Just a minute, Miss Livingston. I'll get the fountain pen and write it down.
All right.
I'm ready.
Good. Now, first, you go to the corner of Lexington.
Just a minute, Miss Livingston. I'll get some paper to write it on. I'm ready.
First, you go to the corner of Lexington and Camden.
Just a minute, Miss Livingston. I'm stuck.
You're stuck?
Yes. I sat down on the fountain pen.
Oh, look, Butterfly. I'm in a hurry. Go to the corner of Lexington and Camden, catch the bus there, and get off at Mr. Benny's house. The bus goes right past it.
Yes, ma'am. But how will I know which is Mr. Benny's house?
Well, you see a big sign out in front that says, "If I can't act better than Paul Lucas, I'll eat my hat." It's a big sign.
But, Miss Livingston, I broke my glasses and I can't read.
Well, that's all right. You'll see Mr. Benny out there eating his hat. Goodbye, Butterfly.
Goodbye.
Mary, that wasn't a bit funny.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Imagine putting a sign on the lawn that you're a better actor than Paul Lucas.
Mary, Rochester wrote that sign out there.
Well, why don't you make him take it down?
Freedom of the press, that's why. Anyway, Mary, the reason I...
Boss! Boss! Boss!
Rochester, what's happened? What's the matter?
Boss, you'll just have to get rid of that camel.
Get rid of my camel? Why? What'd she do?
Nothing, but if you get rid of your camel, you'll get rid of that Arab. He wants to kill me.
The Arab? What did you do to him?
Nothing. Boss, I was just...
Never mind. Here he comes. I'll ask him. Mustafa. Mustafa.
Is a kind of ragged dima sibnish? Anahan mawetu. The lao bar of Rochester while on the room in bedcom. Laos.
Mustafa? What did Rochester do to you?
Sakin ma'akum go my tin talata, waragel di achat kulu flusi, talao barra!
Rochester? Did you do that?
Your guess is as good as mine!
Well, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Mustafa! Now, calm down and tell me, what did Rochester do to you?
Is a kind of ragged dama sibnish, and I'm in a wetto. Come, Seven, baby needs new shoes.
I see. Rochester, come back here. Rochester, when that Arab came here, I warned you not to get him into a dice game.
But, boss, it wasn't my fault. I was teaching him English, and we drifted into cubic arithmetic.
Well, don't let it happen again. And give him back his turban. It looks silly on you. Now, Moosey. Moosey, go take care of my camel like you're supposed to.
The Laubara! Well, in Roman Betcom!
Mustafa, control yourself!
Rochester, Bakhtarni, Fadahni, Achat, Kulu, Blusi, Taratko, Ma'ar!
What a house. This is crazier than a radio program.
Say, Jack, I won't wait for Butterfly to bring my bathing suit. I'll go in the other room and put on Gladys's.
Okay. Come in! Where?
Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Jack.
Hiya, fellas. Say, how come the three of you all got here at the same time?
Oh, we got a carpool.
A carpool?
Yeah. Yes, sir, we sure have.
Well. Well, that's nice. Say, who are you?
Herman Peabody.
Herman Peabody?
Oh, it's all right, Jack. He belongs to our Share the Ride Club.
Oh, say, I go downtown a lot. Maybe I could get in your carpool, too.
No, sorry, Jackson. We haven't got enough room.
Oh, too many people already, huh?
Not only that, but two of them never get out.
Never get out?
Yeah, some sailor and his girl.
What do you mean, kid?
That girl with the sailor is mine.
Oh, fine. Well, come on, fellas. Let's all go swimming.
Me too.
Okay, you too, Herman.
I really shouldn't stay. I ought to be working. I'm an insurance salesman.
But it's so beautiful out, Herman. Why don't you take the day off?
Well, okay.
Now, let's get into our bathing suits.
Oh, I just thought of something.
What, Herman?
Maybe I shouldn't take the day off. Maybe if I worked today, I'd sell somebody an insurance policy.
Well, you can sell it to them tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, fellas,
but
let's
something might happen to him today.
Who?
That man that won't be here tomorrow to buy the policy I should have sold him today. May he rest in peace.
What are you talking about?
Think of his poor wife and children.
Oh, now, Herman, you're letting your imagination run away with you, are you?
I guess you're right. Come on, let's have fun.
Boy! Kid. Come on, everybody. Let's get into our bathing suit.
Yeah, let's.
Dennis. Dennis, you're supposed to take your clothes off first. You ought to know that.
Oh. Say, Mr. Benny, I don't think I ought to stay.
Why not?
That poor widow and her two children, I can't get them out of my mind.
Well, look, if it bothers you that much, Herman, why don't you go?
Okay, I will.
All right. Say, Jackson, how do I look in my bathing suit? Phil, only girls are supposed to wear bare midriffs. But as long as you've got it on, wear it.
Mr. Benny, I decided to stay.
Good, good. Oh, Mary!
I'll be out in a minute, Jack.
We'll wait for you, but hurry up. We want to get in as much swimming as we can before we go to rehearsal. Oh, by the way, Dennis, what are you going to sing today?
On the program?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know the name of it, but it goes like this.
Get by.
Say, Dennis, that song will be swell for the program, and the name of it is I'll Get By.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Hey, Mary, we're waiting. Aren't you ready yet?
Here I come. Hello, fellas. How do I look?
Oh, fine, Mary.
Swell, Mary. Say, Jackson, before I go in, I'm going to use your telephone.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's a fine way to treat me. You let Phil use the phone for nothing.
Never mind. Say, Mary, you thought Gladys Abisko's bathing suit would be too big for you, didn't you?
Well?
Why, it's snug. Look how you had to pull it up to pin it up over your shoulders.
Well, Jack, I've got a surprise for you.
What?
I'm only wearing the pants.
Oh.
I'm wearing a shirt.
Well, it, well, it looks real nice on you, Herman.
I'm in here, too.
Now, get out of there, Dennis. You've got your own suit. Say, Don, you must have been... Don, you must have been out in the sun a lot. You're as brown as a berry.
Oh, Jack.
All right, you're as brown as a grape nut. Are you satisfied?
No.
A Malty Rich grape nut?
Well.
A munchy crunchy one?
With milk and sugar?
Yes.
Yes.
I now pronounce you man and wife. Let's go.
Yeah, we can go in now. Here comes Mr. Harris.
Good. Say, Phil, did you make your phone call?
Yeah. Here, Jackson, you can punch my ticket.
Okay. Okay, kid. There.
Well, of all the chief... Now I've seen everything.
No, you haven't. Wait till you ask for a towel.
Rochester, go back to the kitchen and take that turban off. If you know what I mean, Rochester. Well, come on. Well, come on, kids. Let's all run out and jump in the pool.
Okay.
Gosh, I hope the water isn't too cold. Oh, don't be a sissy, Phil. Come on, everybody. Last one in is a rotten egg.
Hey, look at me, I'm a whale.
Gosh, this is swell. Hey, look at Jack.
Where?
Oh, Jackson, come on in.
Well, is it cold?
No, the water's warm.
Well,
if you don't believe us, stick your foot in and see.
Okay. Say, it is warm.
Mr. Benny, take your foot out of my mouth.
Oh.
Hey, Jackson, the best way is to get up on the diving board and then jump right in.
Well, okay, get out of the way, everybody. Keep away from around the diving board. Here I come.
Oh,
darn, he landed right back on the diving board.
Ooh. Hey, Jackson's hurt.
Ooh. Mr. Benny, aren't you coming in?
Ooh. Mr. Benny.
Herman, can't you see he's unconscious?
Well, when he comes to, will you tell him I decided to go?
All right. Now, come on, boys. Let's pick Jack up and carry him to a more comfortable spot.
Okay. I've got his feet.
I got his head.
Hey, look at me. I'm Monty Woolley.
Dennis, take that off your chin and put it back on Mr. Benny's head. Here, give it to me. I'll hold it.
Look at poor Jack.
Yeah. I wonder what to do now.
I know. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, Mr. Harris.
Rochester, there's been an accident. Bring some whiskey and some spirits of ammonia.
Yes, sir.
Gee, I better cover Jack up with this robe. There.
Look at him lying there with such a blank expression.
Yeah, let's turn him over so he's facing us.
Oh, good. Here comes Rochester with the whiskey and the spirits of ammonia.
Here you are, Mr. Harris.
Okay. Now give Mr. Benny the spirits of ammonia.
I'll give it to him. Here, Jack. Here. Ooh. It's no use, fellas. He's still groggy.
I know how to revive him. Let's pick him up and throw him in the pool.
Yeah, that'll do it.
All right, fellas, lift him up.
Oh, no, you don't.
I went to all this trouble to keep out of the pool. I'm going to stay out.
What?
It wasn't easy to land back on that diving board. I had to practice.
Oh, so that's it.
Come on, fellas, in with them.
Put me down. Put me down.
One, two.
Darn you, fellas. You'll never come to mine.
Say, the water is warm. Gee, it's nice. Hey, come on in, gang. Come on in, you great big sissies. You're so hot.
Say, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, Herman?
Where'd everybody go?
Oh, they had to go to rehearsal.
Gee, that's too bad. Just when I decided to stay. Now I'll be lonesome.
Well, if you want, I'll talk to you.
Please do.
Well, now, look, Herman. When you start out in the morning to sell your insurance, don't just rush out of the house. First, eat a good breakfast. You'll do a better job and feature malty-rich grape nuts.
You fascinate me. Tell me more.
Well, now, Herman, no matter what your job is, you'll do it better if you start off with a nourishing breakfast. And grape nuts make an ideal breakfast dish because they bring you grand all-around whole grain nourishment. Herman, grape nuts are crisp and crunchy with as sweet as a nut flavor that makes them swell eating every time. So, Herman, if you want to be a good insurance salesman, eat a good breakfast, do a better job, and include delicious, nourishing grape nuts.
Hey, you're nice.
Well, thanks, Herman, but I have to run along now to rehearsal.
You have to go?
Yes, I do, Herman. But when you leave, don't forget to turn out the lights, will you?
Okay, bye.
We're a little late. Good night, folks.